You're inside my fix-it-up life with Mark and Teresa. Today we're talking lighting with expert designer Randall Whitehead and our favorite electrician, Bob King. And to help light up your life, we're giving away Stanley FatMax lighted levels to one lucky fan. So stay tuned to find out what's new with lighting and to find out who's going to win the lighted levels. It's all happening next on my fix-it-up life.
Portions of this program brought to you by Codify Design Studio, specializing in graphic design across print, web, and mobile devices. Visit codifydesign.com. That's C-O-D-I-F-Y design.com.
Welcome back to my Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa.
Well, and I want to give extra special love things, too, because it's Valentine's weekend, honey.
Oh, let's do it. Actually, we're making out right now.
We so aren't.
Yeah. And
I think JT would run screaming out of the room if you were making out with anything.
I've also covered the floor of the studio with rose petals.
He has. He just put, you know, rose petals so I could walk into the studio. It's so sweet and romantic.
There's a harpist outside the window, too.
And he's dressed up like Cupid. That's a sight.
Yeah, it is.
Who's glad we aren't YouTubing this one?
Who's glad we are not YouTubing? Right. That's right.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's been a busy week at our house. And one of the busiest things, I guess, is Mark shoveling the snow.
I want a tractor now.
Yeah. He wants a tractor. And he's been begging people to give him a tractor for any kind of reason.
Seriously, anyone who will listen, I'm screaming from the rooftops.
Literally.
I went from working on the floor, to working on the kitchen, to shoveling snow forever.
Yes.
And then playing with the kids, and that was before I went to work, on the weekend.
Well, yeah, that was last weekend, but then, you know, we had some more snow this week, too.
There you go.
And our son Jack was playing in the snow.
Oh, the cuteness was just staggering.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit that last year, when he was just a couple of months old and Mark was away on a business trip, I kind of wanted to take Jack's picture in the snow, and I kind of laid him in the snow like a good mommy should and said, "You're going to lay there, and I'm going to take your picture." He didn't like it. But this year, he loved it, though.
He loved it. He got his little snowsuit on, and he just sat out there, and he kind of like slumped down into the pillow of snow. So cute.
And he took a survey of the neighborhood, too.
Yeah, we walked around. He loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So we snapped a few photos. Did those go on Facebook?
Totally.
I knew that.
Yeah. Anyway, but Mark wants a tractor or some kind of device to clear away the snow for him.
It's just to the point, like, I don't want to give up the shoveling, but in a My Fix It Up Life where we're doing the kind of volume of work that we've got, something's got to give.
Well, I kind of say it's a little bit hot to watch you, shoveling snow.
Which I do shirtless, I venture to add.
Yeah, he oils himself up and goes out there and he shovels the snow. Not really, not so much.
I think
but,
JT
you know,
wants to take his own life right now.
Mark does a lot of fantastic home improvement type things. You know, he's on the roof, he's wherever he is. And, you know, that's great and everything, but when Mark changes a light bulb or shovels the snow, I think that's kind of hot. It's kind of like, you know, regular DIY on the weekend dad.
Yeah. So I'm, yeah, so that's...
He's my little pinup centerfold.
I'm turning awkward here.
Well,
so
you might be awkward because you're dressed up like Cupid, too.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Our appliances so came, and they came when they weren't really supposed to either.
That's
they came
my
early.
Fault. It's my fault.
Well, they came early to me. They were earlier than what was on my calendar, and I'm the calendar keeper
yes,
in our household.
It's my fault.
Schedule girl.
I've got to say that Sears, where we bought the appliances,
yes,
like 4 months ago.
We bought them Labor Day weekend, no joke, and we like deferred delivery probably 5 times.
Yeah, the kitchen's not ready.
Which is such a good thing, is that we were able to take advantage of a huge, huge deal, but we didn't have to take them in and store them.
Mondo sale. We got like 15 rebates on that stuff.
It was really good.
Yeah, and I did, no joke, Sears called, said they were coming, then they call you back. to schedule a time, they leave a million phone numbers for you. They leave their one phone number, not a million phone numbers, for you to call back. You get a person on the horn, and you can reschedule. I legitimately rescheduled that half a dozen times.
Yeah, so true. But we finally got them, and gorgeous.
Yeah.
Very excited. Got a double oven. I'm so excited.
Can't wait for cookies.
Cookies. Are you making me some cookies?
Yeah.
I think that's a great balance.
Yeah, I put in a window to let the smoke out for when I cook.
Well, you know, one of the things about, you know, getting in the appliances and other kinds of deliveries, too, when you're working on a project, tip that we do is cover things up with cardboard and blue painter's tape, too, so you don't get scratches and nicks on your floor or on your pretty cabinets that you just
put
in.
That's right. If you're installing a kitchen yourself or you're having someone else do it, hang on to a couple big pieces of cardboard. We use them everywhere.
Because you don't want to scratch your new floor, and you don't want to dent your beautiful cabinets either.
And then if plumbers come in or electricians come in, you can use big pieces of cardboard like drop cloths and big giant dustpans.
Oh, we even taped up your tool belt, your belt buckle too, so you wouldn't scratch it up.
Yeah, I was just writing this today for one of our magazine articles, and one of my biggest fears is dragging a cabinet across my tool pouch belt buckle and scratching it. So I just wrap it in blue tape, and there you go.
Well, there you go. And, you know, today we're talking, you know what our show theme today is, Mark? You're so excited.
Yeah, I can't wait. If anybody wants to shut the show off now, go ahead.
It's You Light Up My Life because it's Valentine's weekend, and I'm so excited. And we're talking to electrician that we love.
Yeah, so
Bob
our
King
friend.
From Ambler Electric.
Yeah, the My Fix It Up Life electrician.
Yes, he works on our house. We love him. Yeah, we need to schedule him to finish, you know, our kitchen.
Yeah, he's officially sanctioned.
Sanctioned?
Yeah, by the powerhouse brand of approval.
Okay, is that you or is that...
That's my thing that I do.
Okay, well, we'll have to let him know about that and see if he's comfortable with it.
I don't care if he's comfortable or not.
Well, and we also have expert lighting designer Randall Whitehead on our show today, and I'm excited to talk to him. He's everywhere, absolutely. He writes for magazines. He's, you know, working on, I think, a pilot, too, for a TV show.
Oh, is he really?
Uh-huh.
Is he really? We'll have to work the angle on that one.
And he's written a bunch of books, too.
And I know he just had a piece in Fine Home Building, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
And what do we have up for grabs this week? Grabbing. I'm grabbing here in the studio like I'm doing the shopping dance. What do we have up for grabs this week?
Why don't you use your little arrow, Cupid, honey? And why don't you shoot that bad boy down?
Come on, shoot that fine.
Stanley Fatmax lighted level.
We have those at our job site in our Fix It Up Life. And the light is cool, but beyond that, they're terrific levels.
They are terrific levels, and, you know, we've used them on our porch to light up our porch when we didn't
when
have
porch light. No light.
Yeah. When there was no light. Well, you know, lighting is such an important thing in any environment. I mean, it's something you don't really think about too much until you can't see or...
Yes.
Or something is lit very well, and you're like, wow, this place looks amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe. And layering light and everything, I'm excited to learn more about that from Randall.
Or the negative space of that, you notice good lighting when it's not there.
Yes, that's,
you know,
what I was trying
of, right.
to say when you walk in, you can't see.
You're missing my point.
Oh, really?
And we'll talk past each other more when we
Ooh.
Come back with more My Fix It Up Life. Popular Mechanics magazine provides answers for today's times with informative how-to and how-it-works stories on automotive, science, technology, and, of course, the home. Popular Mechanics provides the instruction and inspiration for the My Fix It Up Life crowd. Check out popularmechanics.com for the latest in science and technology news, their homeowners clinic, online automotive reviews, and the gadget of the week, or better yet, order a subscription. Just $10 for 12 issues. That's just 83 cents an issue for the only magazine that gives you the hands-on advice for all the topics you need to know. A great tool for the My Fix It Up Life toolbox is Popular Mechanics. Visit the site or order your subscription today at popularmechanics.com. And you're back inside My Fix It Up Life with Teresa.
Mark, that's kind of creepy, huh? What's
yeah,
the deal? Is
well,
that your new radio? radio voice?
That's my new creep-out voice here on The Weekend of Love.
Oh, honey, that's so romantic.
Part sonnet, part serial killer.
Okay, anyway. So, darling, I was wondering what you found this week. Any romantic fix-it-up finds that you would like to share with the love of your life, me, moi?
Guys in the audience, you will go ahead and thank me now for not having anything with hearts, bows, ribbons, chocolate, or any of that other stuff. Honey, this is a fix-it-up show.
You should give me a piece of dark chocolate so I can eat it while I listen to you talk.
A rose by any other name would still be dormant. It's winter.
Anyway, so darling, would you like to share with me what you found this week?
I did. I found three really cool things.
Really?
Yeah. One of them is this new cutting-edge material called Sing Honeycomb.
Wait a second. Is that on American Idol?
No.
What is it?
It is, it's kind of hard to explain, but if you know what a structural insulated panel is.
I do.
Which is, and I know you do. Which is essentially styrofoam sandwiched between two sheets of OSB or something like that, two sheets of plywood. It's the same deal. So other people know them as stress skin panels. But what makes these different, what makes the Sing honeycombs different, is they're made from natural materials. And as the name suggests, it's a honeycomb. So a lot of it's hollow. But it's got a super high insulation value. It's structural. And you can make everything from garage doors to beams to furniture with it.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting emails from this company, and I've been dying to check this stuff out.
Can we use it in anything in our house?
I'm kind of thinking garage.
Ooh, we don't have a garage at our house.
Yeah.
So we've got a place to put a garage. We live on basically a double lot.
Yeah.
And it's a long double lot. So in the back...
Yeah.
There's room for a garage.
And if these things work like I think they do, we can fly them in and have the garage airtight. Yeah. It'll be a plastic bag. It'll be weather tight in just a couple
fly
days.
Fly them in?
Yeah. When the panels get to a certain size, that's how they do structural insulated panels, you fly them in on a crane.
I thought you meant like an airplane.
No, you don't fly in. I'm not getting a C-130 landing on
about.
Poplar Street.
Mars and Venus.
Yeah.
So anyway.
How about we trade off? How about we toggle over to what you have?
Oh, no, dear. I want to know everything you know.
Yes. I love that you're wearing a red sweater today. That's fabulous.
I am. You're wearing a red scarf, too.
That's right. Here's another
one. A red scarf that I made for you. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, that's it.
Give me cred.
You got street cred is what you got.
I need scarf cred.
Here's another one, and now that we're talking about garage, which I wasn't thinking about for the Sing honeycombs, I was thinking about for this one, though.
What's this?
It's called Shelter Kit. And Shelter Kit creates DIY homes, garages, and barns, and they're specifically designed and manufactured for assembly by non-builders.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's kind of a prefab house, I guess, or factory-made house, whatever you want to call it. And one of the things they say is, think IKEA, but bigger and with better instructions.
Oh, so are there standard plans that you can buy?
There are standard plans and you can customize.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you go online and like totally check it out and look at different plans and different structures?
Yeah, at their website, Shelter Kit.
Oh, cool.
ShelterKit.com.
I'll go on there later and pick out our new garage.
Well, what they're saying is that most of their products can be assembled by two people in only 2 to 15 days. And in fact, my dear, women make up the majority of their customer base.
Ooh, 2 people, 2 days?
That depends, obviously.
That's a pretty extreme weekend project.
Yeah, and it doesn't, I'm sure that's being optimistic. It doesn't include the foundation and all kinds of other stuff.
Who needs a foundation, really?
And they also have green home kits, so you can check them out at shelterkit.com.
Cool. And what's number three?
Number three, behind door number three,
uh-huh.
You will find we have specced and designed barn doors to finish up one of the trim details for our finish remodel. And you know the kind, so I'm not talking to you, but I'll say you know the kind.
He's talking to me when he's being insulting. Not you, the audience. Thank you.
That roll on the... What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one has any idea what you just said.
I do.
Yeah, okay.
And all the other women know what I'm talking about, too.
Okay, so if someone wants to email me what's going on in this room
you
right now...
You don't want to know.
Info at myfixitoflife.com. barn door hardware. Mm. And if you've seen a barn, the doors that roll left to right on a rail and they have these big wheels and stuff, you know, they usually look like 200 years old because they're on a barn. Well, we want a door like this. And I'll be darned if I've had a hard time finding them. Well, I finally did some really advanced Google searching, and at, now follow me, barndoorhardware.com, mm-hmm. found a great site that's got all kinds of stuff. So you can make your own door, you can hang a mega heavy door like in a commercial setting. They're stainless steel, they're wheels or ball bearings. Barndoorhardware.com has some pretty cool stuff, and I'm going to check into that for our barn door project.
I'm very excited about that.
I can't wait to make this thing.
Yeah, it's going to be like a piece of art.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous. And I'm making the slab out of our floor material from Lumber Liquidators.
I know.
Very exciting.
It is very exciting, and it's going to totally match the flooring in our house, and I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, and you're going to love this. I figured out one of the trim details.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time just staring out the window thinking about these things. No one notices they're there, but it's like the lighting you were talking about before. You notice when they're not.
You do notice when they're not. And, you know, we have a lot of friends come over our house and don't realize that there is new trim up or something has changed because it looks like it's always been there. And friends that have been coming over to our house since it's been mangled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's always been like that. No.
But
I spent
that's a compliment.
12 hours doing that.
No, that's a
made
compliment.
Made it myself.
So can I share my fix-it-up find for you?
No, I'm angry now that no one notices my work.
Well, you can go pout somewhere, and I'm going to share
okay.
my fix-it-up find.
All
now, this is a really important find, too. Are you ready?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so we're talking about lighting and all of that today, and I wanted to share that 951,000 home improvement books were recalled because of technical errors in their diagrams for their electrical plans.
Whatever. Just follow the book.
Well, that's a really kind of important thing. There are books that are published that were published from 1975 through last year. So it kind of sounds like there was a drawing done years ago that they've used for lots of different books. And if you're using a DIY book to work on your house, your electrical in your house, beware and check if your book is up to code.
Really?
Totally, yeah.
I wonder if it's
a safety problem.
I wonder if the code changed. And they're, like, going backwards. This is intriguing.
Well, the Consumer Product Safety Commission said that there haven't been any incidents reported involving the books. But if you have, like, Lowe's Complete Home Wiring or Lowe's Complete Home Improvement and Repair Book, which we have, I know, at home.
Right.
Sunset Basic Home Repairs, Sunset Complete Home Wiring. There's tons of these books.
Sure.
You want to make sure that your book, you can go online and check it out. And there's a phone number you can call, and I'll post that up on our website later on today. You can call and check out to see if your book is up to code. If you're doing your own wiring.
Right.
Definitely. And I have another fix-it-up find, too, I want to share.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, you know, Sears, we are in love with them right now because of our appliances.
Yes.
And I just want to share that they now have this cool online marketplace called Marketplace, and they're selling 10 million products from more than 1,500 sellers, and there's 400 categories. Like, I was on there searching for tools and toys and all kinds of things, and they have it there, and it's totally awesome. Good deals, too.
400 categories. They're going to, like, blow Amazon out of the water.
Well, and you can also
Amazon.
For the same kind of thing that Amazon has where you can get free shipping.
Okay.
You sign up for some special deal that you can actually have free shipping just like Amazon does, too.
They ship me the tractor. I wonder what the overnight on that one is.
Sure, honey. They're totally going to ship you a tractor. That's going to happen in this lifetime. Not so much. No, but yeah, they might actually blow Amazon out of the water with that puppy.
Wow.
You know, Sears.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I've sent customers to Sears for years to spec their appliances for their kitchens, never bought them there myself, and having gone through this whole delivery thing, I'm just blown away.
Well, they've been selling everything for I don't know how many years, but a long, long time. You know, so they're a trusted name, so.
They are. They used to sell entire houses, but that's a story for another day.
Maybe we could buy an entire house from them.
Let's check into that when we come back.
Sounds good.
With more My Fix-It-Up Life.
Pour Portions of My Fix It Up Life are brought to you by FixMyHog.com, the number one DVD source for do-it-yourself Harley-Davidson maintenance and performance.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you their exclusive homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. They also offer natural aromatherapy oil, perfumes, and soy candles. All of Green Street Luxury products are made with natural oils and ingredients, and most of their products are vegan or vegetarian friendly. Green Street Luxuries keeps packaging simple to keep the price down for you and to stay environmentally friendly. Their containers are recyclable, renewable, and sustainable. And they donate 5% of annual sales to local charities. Healthy skin, environmentally friendly, and affordable. Why not try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com? That's greenstreetlux.com.
You're back inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. Hi, baby.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so good. That was a good break.
I wasn't even talking to you.
I pampered my skin.
JT just turned around, winked at me like I was talking to him. Unbelievable.
Are you guys on some kind of special date that I don't know about? You said that you were busy later and I had to watch the kids. Is that what you were talking about?
Me and JR are going out later. Yeah. You're totally going boozing.
I'm uncomfortable.
I would be. Okay. I'm even more uncomfortable because we have our special guest and friend and sanctioned powerhouse brand, My Fix It Up Life, official electrician on the phone.
We do.
His name from Ambler Electric behind door number three. Are you there, Bob?
I'm here, kids. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm actually losing my mind because I've sanctioned and approved and Powerhouse branded you some official My Fix It Up Life.
Mark has decided that you are some kind of Powerhouse brand of improvement for us or him. Or I don't know. I'm uncomfortable.
It's my new thing, Bob.
Mark said he's losing his mind. That's not a really great loss. So.
No, it's not, because he's already lost most of it. You know. Okay. Yeah, not much left to lose.
How are you doing today, Bob?
I'm having a good day today.
Yeah. Are you calling us from a job site? Are you like hanging
out the telephone
pole?
I actually am on a job site, and that's a good thing for me because billable hours. It's all about being able to actually send somebody a bill.
There you go.
I like that.
Well,
we're not going to get billed for this.
You guys are friends. So
okay,
this one's pro bono.
Awesome.
Oh, wow. He speaks Latin.
He does.
Quid pro quo, my friend.
Well, I was excited. I wanted to have you on the show today because, you know, we have you do all of our electrical work at our house. It's something that we just don't do. We don't want to do either. We want to have an expert in, you know, that field come out and do it for our house to be safe and everything. And what should someone else who's looking to hire an electrician, what should they do before they even pick up their phone to call you? What would you want them to do?
Well, first of all, you need to have a pretty good idea of what it is that you want. What you're trying to accomplish as far as whether you're doing lighting work or receptacles or whatever, a pretty good idea of what it is you want. And probably should confer with your mate, too, make sure that you're both on the same page.
Ooh.
It's good. You don't want to be getting into a little argument when the technician shows up because, you know, mommy wants one thing and daddy wants something different. So you probably need to work that stuff out ahead of time.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, exactly.
That really is because, you know, sometimes Mark and I are always trying to be on the same page and we do plans and everything before you and your guys come out to our house. But sometimes, too, we have, you know, the little detail or something that we're not exactly on the same page about.
Sure.
So it's good to have a good plan.
Right. It's like anything else. Planning is critical. If you plan ahead, chances are that the job will go smoother and the bill will be lower.
Right.
I like that.
Well, you know, Bob, I mean, people who listen to My Fix It Up Life know that we're licensed contractors and we've been building for a long time. And when you guys show up, I know I was joking around before, but you really are a good electrician.
We try.
You succeed and your guys are good. And, But we had, you and I and your guys have a different rapport because we're approaching it from a professional standpoint. And I know if you've got to punch a hole in our plaster, or I know if I'm going to rip the wall down. But other homeowners, you know, say they want recessed lighting in their kitchen. Do you sort of go into it and say, yeah, we can do that, but we've got to punch holes to get the wires from here to there and talk them through that so they're aware of it?
We do. Generally on a job like that, which is something where a homeowner wants to take an existing house and change something, I will generally go to the job site first and look at it with the customer and discuss with them the options that are readily available. And more often than not, I give them a worst-case scenario so that they don't underestimate what needs to be done. And then generally we can bring it in a little better and everybody's happy.
Yeah, I love it. Pessimism rules the day. It's true, though. You got to be ready
that
for it.
That is good.
You've got to be ready for the most difficult scenario, and then the better ones are a happy circumstance.
Yeah, no one's upset if it takes longer. No one's upset if it takes less time.
I'm kind of upset if it takes longer.
If it takes less time and costs less.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's usually a good thing.
Well, one thing that I really enjoy is that Mike, one of the guys that usually comes out to our house, usually brings ideas, too. We come with a plan of what we want in a particular room, like the kitchen. And he always makes some good suggestions about, you know, have you thought about this or have you thought about this other thing, too? And now we were thinking about doing lighting underneath the cabinet. And he had a couple of different ideas for how we could do lighting there, too, which I really like that he brings ideas to the table,
too. He brings experience to the table, which is good.
Yeah, that's an extra thing that I enjoy. So do people call and they don't know what they want to do? They don't have a plan. What would you do to help them along? Would you tell them to hire an architect, or would you work with them on a plan?
It depends on the extent of the job, Teresa. If it's a large job that involves multiple rooms, I might refer them to an architect to get plans and that sort of thing. It's what they do. They have great vision, and you know, it's not really what we do. If it's a smaller scale project, then I might make some suggestions. And I do often defer to my guys because they've been doing it a long time, and they take really great pride in their work. And there's nothing better than leaving a job where the customer's happy and you're proud to say that, you know, I did that job. And so, you know, I try and bring as many resources into play as possible.
That's so good.
That is good.
Now, what about the homeowner that does it themselves and then calls you to finish up their job?
Or inspect it. Hey, Bob, I just heard about you on my Fix It Up Life. And by the way, get ready for your phone to ring off the hook.
Oh, sure, it will.
I mean, JT's calling you right now.
I'm sure it's ringing right now.
I added a second line. Just
but you know, in fact, a friend of mine did this. I framed his basement for him, and then he went ahead and read the 123 XYZ book and, quote, wired it himself, and then called an electrician friend of his to inspect his job. Now, do people call you for that? What do you suggest?
Occasionally I get that phone call, and it's not something that I do. We're licensed to do electrical installation. It's what we're trained to do. It's what we do. And when it comes to inspection of work or reviewing work, we typically won't do it. We're not really insured for it. I would refer somebody that wants work that they've done reviewed to an independent underwriter. It's what they do. They're used to walking into a site and reviewing another person's work with a critical eye, and they're very versed in the code. So that would be the suggestion that I would make.
Now,
I would send them to somebody else.
Independent underwriter would basically mean getting a building permit and having it inspected. Is that a different way of saying the same thing?
It's a different way of saying the same thing. We're required to have our work reviewed by an underwriter who's an electrical inspector. It's a third party. He's independent of the municipality. He's independent of me. And he comes in for a fee, and reviews the work and makes sure that it meets the electric code. And if it doesn't, he would tell me that, you know, this is a deficiency, this is a deficiency. Then we would correct it, and then he would reinspect it and make sure it's okay.
And I've been through inspections, and I've had inspectors say, hey, you got to add blocking here and on the carpentry side of things, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. And they're usually small but important elements, you know, fire blocking around a shower drain that was exposed.
Anybody that, again, takes pride in their work doesn't mind a second set of eyes reviewing their work and making positive suggestions. So I've never really had an issue with getting my work inspected and having someone look at it and say, you know, you missed this or you missed that, and fixing it. Ultimately, we want the job that's correct and safe and makes the customer happy.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Well,
we love being happy too, right, Mark?
We do love being happy. Bob, I will tell you now on this Valentine's weekend that we love you.
Oh, we do. We heart you.
We heart you.
I love you guys too. I mean, you know. Happy Valentine's.
There's some of those little candies that are shaped like hearts and that, you know, with the little message on them. I left them on the front seat of your truck.
Oh. How romantic. Honey, you
That's
put the
a little
man
more
in
than I really am prepared for today.
Yeah, well, you're inside my Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa, and her husband, Mark.
And we are up against a break, so we're going to have to say goodbye to Mr. King. And we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
Did you know that melanoma skin cancer is the most frequent cancer found in women aged 25 to 29? I didn't know either until my sister-in-law was diagnosed. With the help of her children, family, and friends, she fought the disease and worked hard to educate her community about melanoma. She was not able to see that the legacy of her work led to more than $150,000 raised for melanoma research and that at least 8 lives have been saved by early detection. She lost her battle with melanoma at age 38. The National Cancer Institute estimates that there will be more than 1 million new cases of skin cancer by the end of this year, and that every hour one person dies from melanoma. The good news is that melanoma is preventable and treatable if you use sunscreen with SPF 15 or greater, and always get any new spots on your skin checked by a dermatologist. Don't wait. Late-stage melanoma rarely responds to therapy. Brought to you by the Melanoma Information Network. To learn more, visit the Melanoma Information Network on Facebook today.
And you are back.
Inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa, and we have a special guest on the line.
Let's get right to it.
Should we just go right to it?
We danced around Bob King. You know, we were doing all this other stuff, and it was cool.
I think you were dancing with him for some other reasons, dear.
Hey, that's a nice insinuation, but I think that what we want to do is we want to get right to Randall Whitehead.
We do. I'm very excited to talk to him. He is an expert lighting designer, and he's been on Discovery Channel, HGTV, and tons of other shows and teaches seminars across the country and in Canada and South America, too. He's been everywhere.
Writes books, magazine articles.
Tons of books, yes.
Randall, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, good. Are you in Rio right now?
In my mind, I'm in Rio.
Carnival. Ooh. Is that where that is?
You can always be in Carnival with the right medication.
So true.
There you go. All right. So when are we partying?
All right. I think we're partying right now, dear.
That is true.
Now, we have been all over your website, and you've got tons of great information on randallwhitehead.com. Everybody should check it out. And you are like the master lighting designer. You're everywhere.
I try to be, especially about residential lighting design. I kind of honed in on that area because I think that's where people need the most help. Restaurants, commercial designers, I think they're okay with it. They know how to do it. But homeowners, they need a little bit more help, and that's my job to help them out.
And lighting is one of the things that my husband and I usually have a lot of discussion over in our house. we can agree on a lot of things when we're doing fixing over our rooms in our house, but lighting is something that we have trouble being on the same page with. Because my husband likes to light everything up like the Vegas Strip.
Bruh, not
he doesn't like anything in shadow. Everything has to be lit. Yeah,
Randall, it's this pesky notion I have that I can see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's true of a lot of couples that their lighting needs are different. Just the same, on a lot of levels, your needs are different.
That's true. That's very true. Mars and Venus, that's what we are.
It is true. And I don't, even though, Randall, I represent the strong back, weak mind segment of our listenership, I'm sure people are fired up to be called weak minded. But I do like a bright room. I like to be able to see. But there's nuance and subtlety in lighting that, to a certain degree, eludes my sensibility. And I understand that it's important. I just don't quite get it in the planning stages.
Which is such a great thing, because if you go to Randall's website, there are, you know, the different layers of design, layers of lighting and design mm-hmm. that you want to incorporate in your room. And maybe you could share a little bit with us about that.
I was hoping you'd say that, because I was going to ask. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask for you.
That's the big key, is light layering. What you have is what I call the language of light. And unlike other languages, there are only four words in the language of light, so that you can get it immediately. In a couple of minutes, you can understand what lighting can do for a space. And the four words are task, ambient, accent, and decorative. Now, decorative is what we all grew up with. That's the chandelier over the dining room table, the two lanterns at the front door, a table lamp with a linen shade on it next to the sofa. That's all decorative lighting. I call it sort of architectural bling. And it's the supermodel of lighting. It doesn't have to do anything but look pretty.
Ooh, I like that, the supermodel of lighting.
That's right.
I've never heard anyone describe it that way.
I like
that's kind of hot.
I like to hang chandeliers so low they're at, like, kitchen table height. You have to walk around them in the middle of the room. Giant chain. So
oh
I'm
goodness.
Not really.
Really?
You just don't like to get up on a ladder to change those bulbs.
No, he doesn't want to.
Yeah. They're way easier to put in that way.
I like the electricians that swing the chandelier around as they're changing the bulbs and end up unfastening it from the ceiling and it crashes to the floor.
Oh, awesome.
Do you have, Randall, like some real horror story like that, some like massively complicated or expensive light fixture that somebody just demoed?
Oh, I'm talking about an actual job where it was a beautiful crystal chandelier in the $25,000 range, and the electrician was putting on the bulbs, and instead of moving around the fixture, he twisted the fixture, unscrewed it from the ceiling, and it crashed down to the floor.
Oh, I might cry.
Oh, my
So it God. Was it one of those kinds of things that's irreplaceable? I mean, it was custom made, I'm sure, right?
Well, it wasn't custom. When you get up to that range, uh-huh. there's a lot of time that goes into them, but it wasn't a one of a kind, and so the electrician ended up having to replace that fixture. But I can give you one other one that the electrician was trying to be very careful. There was a crystal chandelier. They were working on around it very carefully, and there was a big crystal globe at the bottom of it, a faceted globe, and they put it onto the dining room table off to the side. They moved this beautiful French table off to the side, and what happened was the light came in through the window, hit the crystal, and caught the table on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
You mean like a reflection, like a magnifying glass?
Yes, exactly, like a magnifying glass.
Oh, that is horrible.
I'm going to start crying for these homeowners,
yeah.
though.
So, Randall, can you depress us a little more?
Oh, no.
And, what I love in the industry is that you have to have kind of a poker face when you're talking about people and their lighting needs, because the words that come out of their mouths aren't exactly the words that they want to say. And you don't want to react to it. Like, one that we get a lot is that they're talking about that they want to do a fox finish on the wall.
Fox finish, yeah.
So all I can imagine
no.
is
fox and hound.
Oh,
you got
no.
it.
Yeah. That took me a second.
Yeah.
And they, I just imagine a small animal being rolled in paint and going over the wall gently with it to create the finish that they were looking for.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to so have a fox finish.
Yeah, we're having fox finishes. Randall, first of all.
That goes in my, you know, like the chimneys and all the other things that people
chimney,
say.
Joists.
The footers. Joists.
Okay,
fox finish.
We already want to invite you back on our show. We're not even close to done yet.
we're never going to finish this show because we just want to keep talking.
I know. We actually prepare for these interviews periodically.
We do. We actually have some questions I wrote down.
Yeah, not getting to them.
All right.
Just want you to know that.
Well,
now.
I do want to know, though, how did you get involved in lighting? Like, how did it become your thing, your passion in life?
Well, I started out in lighting for theater and television, and a lot of lighting designers did start in some other area of expertise, whether it's interior design or architecture or landscape design or theatrical lighting. And we move into something that, for me, I love doing theatrical lighting, but once the show was over, everything that I had designed was gone.
Oh.
And what I really liked about architectural lighting design is that I can create something that has more permanence to it.
Hmm.
And that's really why I got into it. I still do the photography. I still love doing that. But I think what happened is that going into lighting design as my profession saved me from hating photography. If I started doing weddings, things like that, I would probably not be as happy with my love of lighting and photography as I am now.
That's
like
great.
That.
Yeah, I know what you mean. When your passion gets, you know, sort of ground down in a workaday, it gets tough.
Well, and I have another very important question that's personal to me. I want to know what's hot in lighting right now, because we're working on our 100-year-old house, and I want to know what is going to make our house be totally hot and cool in lighting.
But not hot enough to light our table on fire.
No, we don't want to light anything on fire. I don't really want a fox finish too much either.
Yeah.
You know.
You said that hot so Paris Hilton of you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right, Randall. You can take over the microphone anytime you're ready.
Paris and I were like BFFs. Isn't that her thing? Total BFFs. Yeah.
That's right. You share a peanut together and a grape.
Totally. We had like a grape yesterday for lunch together. And sparkling water. Oh, it was so refreshing.
Yeah. Mm. A gallon of bourbon.
Yeah, probably. Pretty much. While we texted each other. So what is hot in interior lighting right now, residential? What's going to be hot so that we can be on the cutting edge and all of our friends, when they come over, they'll just be like, wow.
And if you say $25,000 chandelier, I'm hanging up.
Yeah, that's not really in our price range so much.
Well, what really is my whole idea about residential lighting right now is the energy efficient sources that are out there and sexing it up.
Ooh.
The difference is that the compact fluorescent that you can buy at the big box store for a buck is really not a very good light bulb. And the problem is that the manufacturers are trying to find something that cost-wise replaces a regular household bulb, and a dollar CFL, which is compact fluorescent lamp, is no good. It hums, it buzzes, it burns out prematurely, it has kind of a weird color. And what I'm trying to get people to understand is that they need to invest about $12 to get a really good compact fluorescent that's dimmable, dims with a standard incandescent light bulb, has a beautiful color to it, and makes no sound when it's on. And it's just, it's like anything. It's like buying a cheap sweater or a more nicely priced sweater. It doesn't have to be the top of the line. But what's interesting is that with the life of a compact fluorescent, you can save probably around $62 to $67 over the life of that bulb if you make that initial investment.
Now, what about LEDs?
LEDs are also very exciting. What's interesting is about compact fluorescence. If I talk about fluorescence, my clients, their eyes just sort of glaze over because they've had bad experiences throughout their lives with fluorescence, because there's a lot of bad fluorescence that's out there, and it does last forever. And so
the
they immediately hate it. If they see something that looks like a softy ice cream, then they don't like it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to touch it. Nothing. But there are a lot of manufacturers that are now making compact fluorescents that are inside the envelopes of the lamps that we love. Mm-hmm. Lamp is the industry term for light bulb. So it looks like a regular household bulb, a flame tip bulb, or a globe lamp. All of these are so much more inviting to the homeowner. And these are not CFLs. These are CCFLs, which is kind of a little another hot item that's out there that people don't know about. Mm-hmm. And that means cold cathode compact fluorescent, which is a really bad name for a very good product.
Are you in the product naming commission?
I should be. You know,
can I get a cold cathode, please? That sounds like a procedure.
It sounds like a frigid catheter fluorescent. Who wants one of those?
Nobody, really. Not me. Thank you. Yeah.
No hands going up.
Where can you get a CCFL?
Well, that's a good question. Now, the company that I like, and I don't sell anything, so I'm happy to give out company names. The company that I like is called Lightronics. It's LiteTronics, and you go to lightronics.com. But most of the bulbs that I'll talk about today, you can get at a website called 1000bulbs.com.
1,000 bulbs. Now, that is easy to remember.
It is, and it's just the number 1,000. You don't even have to type out 1,000. It's just 1000bulbs.com. Operators are standing by.
Look, talking in like DJ voice is my job.
I used to be a DJ, and the problem is that anytime I give out a phone number or anything, I fall into that sort of movie phone voice.
Oh, really?
I can't help it.
No. You do that in like your personal life too?
Yes.
So if somebody says, oh, I want to call you, hire you for a job, you're like, well, you can reach me at.
You can call me at 626-1277.
That's so good.
Our producer, JT, who you talked with a second ago, actually does that same thing. Both of you are hysterical.
Yeah.
I never know when it's coming. It's a riot.
It's really good.
But can I ask an actual question in this interview?
Oh, you want to ask?
I have an actual question.
Oh, you want to co-host the show?
Oh, Randall, can you call me later?
Go ahead. You may ask one question, and then we're going to have to take a break.
Back to the dollar, $2, whatever they are, big box compact fluorescents that, you know, everybody has now. They've got issues with cold. And, like, if you put it outside in your porch light, which I did, and turned it on, which I did, and then it didn't, I want to know, what's the deal? What's the solution to that?
Well, the first solution is to buy a fixture that is rated to 0 degrees. So there are compact fluorescent fixtures, the manufacturers of the fixtures themselves, that make it so that the fluorescent will fire up because it seals the bulb in and it lets it stay at a temperature that allows it to come on. But what we're seeing more of is going to LEDs in these exterior fixtures that actually do better in cold weather than they do even in super warm weather.
Oh,
I'm going to have to get
that makes me a little bit sad because I was going back and forth when I was picking out our porch light and whether I should get one, an LED light or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. And yeah. I should have. And now I'm regretting it.
Well, we have another cold spot in our house. I left the gable end of a mudroom that we have open. And on top of the recessed lights, it's cold. I mean, I insulated the whole area, but it's still enough cold gets in that they are slow to light up. And they're dim when they're lit, so I could use a different solution in there anyway.
Yep, most fluorescents do have a slight warm up time. That it usually takes them in cold weather. It takes them eight to about 15 seconds to come up to full brightness. Now there is a whole nother bulb that's coming onto the market called the ESL.
Mm.
That's electron stimulated luminescence. How do you
Ooh,
like that?
I
that's
like
a
the
good,
name
that
of that.
That sounds good, right?
That's
yeah,
it. Exactly.
Electron stimulated luminescence.
Sounds like
ESL.
You need to wear rubber gloves.
Luminescence. That's a good one.
And what it is it's kind of like a fluorescent, but there's no mercury in it.
Oh, that's
which
a whole
is great.
Other
it,
issue, isn't it?
It comes on at full brightness. It comes on, it dims with a standard incandescent dimmer, and it lasts in the 8,000 to 9,000 hour range, which is comparable to a compact fluorescent, which is 10,000 hours, which is much better than a regular household bulb, which is only 750 hours.
ESL.
And people, they need to go. It's not yet released. It's been in production and testing for about 2 years. But if they go to VU1.com, just the letters VU and the number one, they can see little videos about these bulbs, how they're made, and they're coming out. And I think it's going to change everything.
Oh, no
really?
Kidding.
Yeah.
Because we're in that kind of ramp-up time between the old technology and what's going to stick, aren't we?
That's right.
Oh, that's so exciting.
That you talk about LEDs. I have LEDs from a year ago that already, they're just, there's something that's so much better. It's either giving a better color of light, it's giving more light, it has better dimming capabilities. So the industry is moving very fast, and the early adapters, I try to get all this stuff in and test it, and now I have a big box of stuff that no longer is as good as what's readily available now.
Wow. Well, you can send your junk to us.
Send your leftover high-tech lighting to us.
Hey, Randall, I'm glad I asked you way early to come back on again because we have to go.
We okay. do. We're up against a break, and we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
Mark your calendars.
My Fix It Up Life is the place to be for home improvement celebrities. If you want to know what's hot from their point of view, don't miss these upcoming My Fix It Up Life shows.
Tune in March 6th when we'll be getting the scoop on Extreme Makeover Home Edition's Ed Sanders' own home renovation projects. And the publisher of Homes Magazine will be putting the rumors to rest about a U.S. version of the popular HGTV star Mike Holmes Magazine.
Become a part of My Fix It Up Life. Email us at info@myfixituplife.com to share your Fix It Up insights. Enter to win cool gear or just to get advice on your next Fix It Up project.
Visit myfixituplife.com to check out what Kevin O'Connor, Mike Holmes, Christopher Lowe, and Paige Hemmes are sharing with My Fix It Up Life.
Check out podcasts of My Fix It Up Life on iTunes. Watch our videos on YouTube. Become a fan of the show on Facebook or follow us on Twitter to find out what's hot in home improvement during the week.
My Fix It Up Life comes to you every Saturday at noon. And starting March 11th, My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa will also be on during the week, Thursdays at 1.
My Fix It Up Life. It's what's next in home improvement, entertainment.
And you're back inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa.
And we have a question on the line.
Well, we have a question on, printed out. It came in email.
Got interlined to us on the intercom.
Yeah. And you can send your questions to info@myfixituplife.com or post your question on Facebook, and we would love to answer it and maybe even answer it on the show, too.
Yeah, maybe. We've got some great questions on Facebook, by the way.
We have. There's a lot of good chatter going about on our Facebook page. And, you know, it's not just us giving out advice and sharing what we're doing. It's you sharing what you're doing with everybody else, too.
Totally.
It's a whole big, like, you know, sharing circle.
It is. It's preschool.
Honey, it's not preschool.
That's where you do sharing circle, isn't it?
Well, I guess it's
Let's share.
You can sit on the sharing mat.
I guess. We're going to send Jack and Lexi into school with, like, impact drivers and nail guns.
I don't think they'll let us do that, and we'll be called to the principal's office pretty fast.
What's new?
Okay. I don't really prefer to live inside, you know, the grade school.
This is actually a good question, though.
It is. Let me share it with you.
Yes.
Okay. Because it says, hi, Teresa.
I'm putting the papers down and not answering.
So the question is, hi, Teresa. My husband and I are living in a 200-year-old Center Hall Colonial in Massachusetts that we renovated with our church as a parsonage. It's gorgeous. We own our 1986 home in Florida, and my father-in-law is living there. Next month, we're going to Florida to rip up the carpet and put down wood flooring with the help of one of our parishioners who winters in the area. I love wintering places.
I should summer. Winter. I'm going to summer somewhere.
We should summer. Anyway, I'm researching wood flooring online and have found 3/4-inch pre-finished solid tiger wood. I have visited a local store to check out the different finishes, etc. I know there's always something we learn from doing these projects. I'm trying to I am trying not to have regrets. Such a good thing, I have to say. Any advice for a novice in buying wood flooring? And that's from Pat.
That's from Pat in Massachusetts, which is my home state.
Yes,
so
it
we'll
is.
Talk about my pedigree now for a while.
No, please.
You know, if you're up there, sometimes people up there say Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that after the show, about the pedigree.
Yeah, after it's over.
Yeah.
But a couple things, Pat. First, it sounds like you got an old house reno behind you, so you're no stranger to the tools and stuff that you're going to need. But since you're delving into construction in Florida, it's really good that you're asking around. Let's start with the finish first. First of all, 3/4 inch solid wood, pre-finished tiger wood sounds pretty sweet.
Sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, it sounds pretty nice indeed. And you're right, there is difference between the finishes on these pre-finished ones. One that jumps to mind, which we learned about recently, was Lumber Liquidator's Bella Wood.
Yes.
Bella Wood isn't, and I was confused by this. Bella Wood's not wood.
No, it's not a particular kind of wood. It's a finish,
it's
right?
It's their 50-year finish. So, and different companies will have different ones. So check into the finish and the duration that it's rated for. Again, has nothing to do with tiger wood or maple or oak or anything. But the real issue you might be up against is they build houses differently in Florida. And a lot of them are what's called slab on grade, which is basically there's no basement. The foundation of the house is solid. It's a slab. And if that's the case in the house you're working on and you're expecting a basement and wood floor joists and plywood like you have in New England, might not be there. And if it's not there, you have a lot of different decisions to make. You got to put down a 3/4 inch subfloor of plywood, glued and nailed. You got to change all your thresholds. There are trim details all over the place. So before you do anything, check out what's underneath that carpet you're going to rip up. And I think that, and when you get the wood onto your job site, acclimatize it. Check with the supplier to make sure that the humidity reaches the right level before you install it.
Well, we would love to know how your project goes, Pat. So send us a follow-up email or post something on our Facebook page. And we are ready to give away our prize for this week. And we just have a couple minutes, Mark. So let me run through our two finalists.
Race it.
All righty. We're giving away the Stanley Fatmax lighted level. And number one is from Patrick, and he posted on Facebook that my brother is expecting his third child, so of course I'll be working on his house again for free. Last renovation I did at his house, my pride and joy got crushed by his Ford F-250.
That's a way to crush it.
My wooden 4-foot Stanley level, that was one of my first tools. I could use a new level since he never replaced it, and I'm using a less accurate and less expensive level now to get by. Number one. Number two, and then second finalist is Paul.
Love the dual giveaway.
And dual giveaway?
Dual giveaway. Each one wins.
Oh, we're not giving away two, are we?
We're giving away two.
You
heard
decided?
It here first.
All right. Well, I guess they're not finalists. I guess they're both winners then. And let me read you the second winner then. Paul, he posted this on Facebook too. I inherited a level from my dad when he passed away. I can remember him using it when I was a little boy. Well, the glass broke and can't find a replacement. Bubble glass sure would put the Fatmax level to good use. Oh, that's so sad.
It's sweet. Why he had the level in the first place.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's a takeaway.
And on next week's show, we are bringing it from Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas, where we're bringing you interviews with Chris Grundy from Cool Tools and Matt Blashell from Deconstruction. Find out what they do when they're not on the TV shows. And also, we're giving away Rockwell's Jaw Horse and Paige Hemis' Tough Chicks Glove and Tool Belt set on My Fix It Up Life. So go to our website, myfixituplife.com, to enter to win, or post a message on our Facebook why you would like to win one of the cool prizes up for grabs.
Yeah, or email us questions or enter to win those prizes at info@myfixitup.com.
Totally email us questions so we can help you out, just like Pat and all the other folks out there, because we really do want to know what you're doing in your Fix-It-Up projects. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
And become our fan on Facebook, where we have more fans than any other home improvement radio show out there. Thank you.
And stay tuned for special insider news on Facebook. And tune in next Saturday at noon
for My Fix-It-Up Life.
This is Evo. Welcome. Living Legend. I was walking down the street.